Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a really good show planned, and this one is for the ladies and the guys who have women in their lives, because if your wife or partner suffers from uterine fibroids, you realize how tough your life will become, because her life will become tough. And it's a much bigger problem than I thought it was until I started doing some research for today's show. It's amazing. I'm going to go ahead and bring my guest right on, because I want to get right into this. My guest today is Dr. Bruce Lee. How are you doing, Dr. Lee?
I am well. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. You know, I love doing these types of shows where I can get the news out about a cutting-edge approach to deal with a problem that critically needs a new approach. And so first of all, depending on which government statistics you go by, it looks like as many as 80% of women will develop some type of uterine fibroid, the severity varies, by the time they're in their 50s. That's astonishing to me. That is such a huge number of women.
That's absolutely correct. The majority of women by far will develop these tumors. And about 40% of them will have significant symptoms requiring treatment. Actually, it's a little bit based on ethnicity, in that about 70% of Caucasian women by 50 have these tumors, and over 80% of African American women have them by age 50.
And is that because, I don't mean to segue, but I love to pull from strings in conversation. So, you know, darker skinned people, they scar different than lighter skinned people. They'll keloid, and because of the higher amounts of fibrinogen in their bodies, does that play a role in this, the etiology of the higher rate of fibroids in African American women?
Not really the fibrinogen issue, but the development of fibroids is a little bit different in the African American population, in that they occur earlier in age. They are more numerous, and the tumors that they develop are much more aggressive and cause more symptoms.
Interesting. Is there a hormonal influence that you've been able to correlate in the development of uterine fibroids in women?
Well, not so much the development, although there's indirect evidence that hormones certainly can do have a role in the development, in that fibroids don't develop until women start to menstruate, and they stop developing when women go through menopause, which is the time when ovulation no longer occurs and hormonal levels fall.
Interesting.
We do know that the hormone progesterone, not estrogen, because those are the two main female hormones, estrogen and progesterone, we do know that progesterone is the primary stimulus to fibroid growth, and that estrogen augments that effect.
Wow.
So it certainly does have a role in the growth of these fibroids.
And I can see why menstruating would influence that, because as a woman goes through the cyclicity of the menstrual cycle, you have periods of time where progesterone ebbs and flows, where you have higher progesterone levels and lower progesterone levels. And so I would imagine that those periods of higher progesterone creates an environment where the fibroid can actually start to grow faster again.
Okay, so where did you get your medical degree? Because most people don't know this.
I've been doing this show for 14 years, and I get to talk to brilliant people like you. So I'm basically a parrot. I'm like a parrot. You tell me a word, and I repeat it back to you. So there you go.
Well, you're very correct, because there's a common misconception out there that that women who develop fibroids have this estrogen dominance kind of thing, where they have too much estrogen in their body. And so they change their diets, they do all kinds of things to try to bring this estrogen down. Oh. The reality is estrogen, while, again, complementary to fibroid growth, is not essential for it. Progesterone is.
That is so fascinating. Okay, so let's get back on track here. When women do develop fibroids, and some are more aggressive than others, there's some women out there who have fibroids, and they can go through their entire life and not really be bothered by them, other than in the back of their mind, they're afraid, because this thing is a tumor, right? We're calling it a fibroid, but it is a tumor, right?
Yeah, fibroids are benign, solid muscle cell tumors that develop in the wall of the uterus. The wall of the uterus is called the myometrium, and that is made up of muscle. So these tumors develop between the muscle cells, much like a pebble inside of a sponge, and then they grow and they compress that sponge, and they become much larger than the original sponge.
Okay, and now, but what happens with these is that they can cause problems when women are still having periods, because they can cause a lot of pain. They'll have much heavier flow during their periods, much more discomfort. And depending on their size, I knew a girl who had a fibroid the size of a large grapefruit, and she had a terribly distended stomach. You know, her lower abdomen was pushed out. They can get really, really big.
Oh, they definitely can. I was operating on a nice doctor's wife from Florida who flew into California and had the procedure that I do, and her uterus was the size of a six-month pregnancy.
Oh, how terrible. That's amazing.
And just one of her fibroids was the size of a cantaloupe.
Oh, that's... And obviously, she's probably had really high progesterone levels at some point in time for it to fertilize and grow that big. That's amazing to me.
Well, the progesterone levels, again, are very essential, but each fibroid that develops has its own genetic makeup. So we all, doctors included, tend to think of fibroids as kind of one entity. In reality, there are diverse type of group of tumor where each fibroid has its own genetics, so therefore it has its own behavior. Some fibroids wish to grow and grow and grow, and other ones just stay very small. Some will cause very heavy bleeding, and some will not. And it's not always the location of the fibroid that determines that. It's actually much dependent upon the biology of that particular tumor that happens to develop.
Interesting. And so are there any correlating hallmarks that you know about that seems to beget the more aggressive, larger growing tumors?
No, not really, because we find the very large ones in every ethnic group in the world, mm-hmm. in every country of the world, and in every environment. Fibroids are fairly ubiquitous. They've been around as long as mankind has been around. They have been written about in medical and non-medical literature for many, many hundreds of thousands of years. They've found fibroids in Egyptian mummies. So it's just a condition that mankind has always had, but interestingly enough, does not really get addressed or get talked about.
So... there's lots of interesting research coming out on PCOS and its relationship to the onset of type 2 diabetes. So we know that the women who suffer from PCOS, they also tend to have a certain degree of insulin resistance. This insulin resistant factor seems to lead to the increased production of androgens. They develop hair on the face. They develop certain characteristics. And do we see any correlation with any metabolic things? Do we see women who have certain metabolic disorders develop fibroids more frequently?
There is a slight correlation with women who are diabetic and more obese. Whether that's, you know, etiologic or just coincidence,
right.
is really not really well understood. But we do, the interesting thing is we do find fibroids in really every kind of situation. Women who have no medical problems commonly have fibroids. Women who have a lot of medical problems commonly have fibroids. The bottom line, fibroids are common.
So I found a study. I actually, about 2 years ago, I found a study that we talked on about on the show just briefly that that linked semen, ejaculation, to suppressing the growth of fibroids. Have you ever seen that research at all?
You know, I have not.
And we talked about it just because we were doing a show one day about, you know, about the importance of sex in the healthy human, and whether or not healthy people have more sex or having more sex keeps you healthy. You know, we can argue about that. But I found this study that indicated that it seemed like women who tended to be ejaculated into more often tended to either not have. But they get, and again, these are epidemiological studies, and you can't really do anything with them because, as my good friend Dr. Lauren Cordain once said, if you follow epidemiology, then fire trucks cause fires because every time there's a fire truck there. So you really don't know. You know.
Right. And along with that, that may really apply to this situation.
Right.
Because women with fibroids often have pain with intercourse, which is called
right. So they're not exactly. So they're not having as much sex. So it's like, oh, maybe that's
right.
What's causing it. But no, it's the opposite way around. It's the chicken and the egg type thing. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely right.
So so usually the only option for a woman, well, there's two options, right? There's a myomectomy, and then there's obviously a hysterectomy. There are two options, but they're both surgical procedures that require some sort of radical, invasive changes of the reproductive organs, right?
That's correct, but there are really more options than just those two. And unfortunately, it depends upon where the particular patient is and who... that patient sees as her physician, that will determine really what options she is given. But you're correct. Many women are only given the option of myomectomy or hysterectomy or even just hysterectomy. I've had quite a few patients who are young in their 20s and who have come to me and were told that their physicians only said that hysterectomy was the option and the only option for them.
And this is a big deal for women because, you know, everybody realizes now, you know, with the boom in bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, thanks to Suzanne Summers' exposure of a lot of this good stuff and the growth of awareness that, hey, you know, these hormones play a role in health and longevity and the cavalier attitude that like, oh, well, we're just going to take everything out. You know, a lot of women want to keep as much as they can. They realize that this is not a just something to be cavalier about. So this type of surgery is probably the last thing they want to hear about. And we're going to talk about your solution in a minute. But the reality is that in pretty much the United States overall, if a woman walks in with a debilitating fibroid, a uterine fibroids, she is really only going to be offered surgery at some point in time, right?
Most likely that is correct. But to your point about what women choose or how they feel about the options that they're given, uterine fibroids are present in such large numbers in the world, but also in the U.S. The data suggests that there are over 12 million women who have symptomatic fibroids right now in the U.S. And how many of those women actually proceed to have a therapy for their fibroids, usually less than 400,000 per year.
Wow. So what are the rest of them just live with the pain and the anguish?
That is absolutely correct. And so the women are telling us that they are rejecting the standard options that are offered to them.
Right. Right. And I have to say, I know that modern medicine has been reshaped because of the access of information, the internet, websites like the NIH's PubMed and others, where people in search of information and a willingness to get a medical dictionary to look up certain terms that they don't understand can now be endowed with as much information about their unique situation as the physician that they're seeing. And I guess some of these women just don't want to have that surgery. And I can understand that. I put off surgery on my left foot for 2 years and suffered with unbearable pain for 2 years because I didn't want to go under. I didn't want general anesthesia. I had done a show 8 years ago, 9 years ago, that general anesthesia does to the brain what blunt force trauma does to the brain. And so you want to limit the times that you have to be put out under general anesthesia. And I just kept putting it off because I didn't want to have surgery. So I can understand women's angst with this idea that I have to go do this. And they just, I bet they live with it and it makes them miserable.
It makes them miserable. It makes their family miserable. And it has significant repercussions to the patient socially and economically. And it has great economic impact on the U.S., for example. Fibroids cost this country well over $34 billion per year.
Oh, my goodness.
That is breast cancer, colon cancer, and ovarian cancer put together.
And see, because it's not, quote-unquote, life-threatening, it takes a back seat to these other to cancers that may actually metastasize or something like that. That's really, really interesting. Now, when women develop fibroids in their breast, is that an indication that they will probably end up with fibroids in their uterus as well, or are these two very, very different situations?
No, these are two separate entities. However, they are commonly found together because both are very, very common.
Right.
But one is not really related to the other. And the breast masses, they're called fibroadenomas.
Mm-hmm.
And they have really, although they feel very similar to fibroids and have a similar appearance, they are actually histologically separate.
Okay, okay. Now, I'm assuming, are you of Chinese descent?
I am.
Okay, mm-hmm. So traditional Chinese medicine treats uterine fibroids with increased intake in burdock and seaweed because of the iodine. And the theory behind that is that when women don't have adequate iodine, they tend to produce more fibroid type tissue. Any reality, any accuracy in that?
Chinese medicine has been very effective in treating the symptoms of uterine fibroids.
Mm-hmm.
My sister happens to be a very well recognized herbologist, acupuncturist. She also has a master's in public health and is a physical therapist. Very talented woman who spent much of her time studying in China. She used to accredit various programs for herbology and acupuncture here in the U.S. And we tried to work together to find a solution for uterine fibroids, and in fact, we could influence the symptoms, but we could not reverse the tumor itself. So it is possible to help the symptoms of fibroids with supplements and herbs if one knows what they're doing. It's also possible to make them worse because many of these herbs and supplements have hormone-like effects.
Mm-hmm.
And if they happen to have progestin-like effects, well, you're going to make the fibroid grow.
Yeah, you're basically putting fertilizer on it. I want to take a commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk about how you decided to invent something and actually the procedure that you offer that I think you just make a tiny little incision. There's no real quote-unquote surgery. Am I correct on that?
It is a surgery, but it's a minimally invasive one.
Right.
And that allows for a faster recovery, much less pain.
But you're also addressing just the problem. It's almost like you're pinpointing the surgery to address the fibroid and leave everything else intact in the woman, right?
That is correct.
That's a wonderful thing. Let's do this. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll be talking more with Dr. Bruce Lee. Stay tuned. Imagine how successful your life would be if you could double your focus, double your mental energy, double your problem solving, your creativity, your willpower. Sounds too good to be true, right? That's what I thought until someone handed me a bottle of Qualia Focus. Qualia Focus is a mental performance formula that combines 24 of the most powerful molecules on earth to noticeably boost your brain power within just a few days of taking it, or your money back. Qualia Focus blows coffee away, but a serving actually has less caffeine than a cup of coffee. That's because it boosts brain power the healthy way. Just go to neurohacker.com. That's NEUROHACKER.com and enter coupon code SHR at checkout for an extra 15% off. And a serving of Qualia Focus costs one-fifth of that coffee you're drinking right now. Unlike coffee, Qualia Focus nourishes your brain in a comprehensive, healthy way for amazing brain power you noticed in just a couple days. That's neurohacker.com to try Qualia Focus and discount code SHR at checkout for an extra 15% off. All backed by a 100-day money-back guarantee. Qualia Focus is a life changer, I promise you. Try it now for amazing brain power at neurohacker.com.
BPC-157 is quite possibly the most popular injectable peptide used by athletes and weekend warriors alike. Its ability to help you recover faster and make nagging injuries seem to just disappear is legend. Now you can take Body Protection Complex oral supplement and get all the benefits of injectable BPC-157. DrSeeds.com has produced the first orally delivered BPC product using peptide protein sequences that are easily absorbed in the gut and that will help you recover faster from workout to workout. And now Superhuman Radio listeners can save 15% off their first order of Body Protection Complex at drseeds.com. That's drseeds.com. Just use coupon code SHR at checkout. Don't waste another minute dealing with nagging pain or feeling like you just don't recover like you used to. Body Protection Complex is your answer. Go to drseeds.com, use coupon code SHR today. Hey, this is Carl. For 14 years, you've heard me talk about CanSee eye drops, and they being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at now 61 years old. But I regularly get emails and messages from people who've been using CanSee and having some amazing results. Recently, I got an email from a fellow named Chad, who because he was on dexamethasone eye drops for over 6 months, developed a cataract. CanSee eye drops actually reduced my cataract to the point where even my doctor has a hard time finding it. I will never stop using CanSee eye drops twice a day. I've been using them since 2008, he says. And you should be too. There is no better way to keep your eyes healthy and seeing clearly than CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com today and get on board, and we will both be looking into the future with very clear vision. Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number 1.com. Or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today. Who wants to have better sex? That's a stupid question. Everybody wants to have better sex. And you can start having better sex if you go to the website bluechew.com, B-L-U-E-C-H-E-W.com. Use the code SHR and get a free order of your choice of the only two FDA-approved drugs to treat erectile dysfunction, sildenafil or tadalafil. Best of all, they're chewable, so they start to work in minutes. Go to bluechew, B-L-U-E-C-H-E-W.com. Use code SHR and you will get your first order for free. You do have to pay $5 for shipping, but come on, it's an easy deal. Who wants to have better sex? Okay, get busy. You know how to do it.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. If you didn't catch yesterday's show, you really need to listen to it. We had the brilliant Joel Green on yesterday, and we were examining, you know, all of these nicotinamide riboside supplements are out there guaranteeing to keep people from aging. And NAD Plus is very, very popular supplement today. Everybody sells it. And it's true. It does drop as you age. But no one is asking the question, why does it drop as you age? And Joel put together an amazing insight from research about The poor sleep people are getting today is why you don't have the high levels of nicotinamide riboside, because it's a metabolite of nicotinic acid, of niacin. And the best way to improve your sleep is to use blue-blocking glasses at night. If you're working on your computer, you're watching television, you put them on at 7 o'clock at night. By 9 o'clock, you are sleepy. And the best blue-blocking sunglasses there are out, blue-blocking glasses are Blueblocks, BLUBLOX.com. If you go there and use the code SHR, or it's either SHR or SHR20, I'm sorry, but you'll save 20% off your order. I wear them every single night. And the occasional times I don't put them on, I don't sleep as good. And I track my sleep three different ways. So check out blueblocks.com. Show them some love. They are a sponsor here at Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with Dr. Bruce Lee. He is an obstetrician, gynecologist. We're talking about fibroid tumors, which is really a big problem for women. It's kind of a silent problem, except the people who live with women who suffer from them, they probably know how tough it is, and the women who suffer from them. But in the past, it was just pretty much radical surgery. But Dr. Lee saw an opportunity. So talk about this, Dr. Lee. What made you say there's got to be a better way to do this? Because let's face it, you're a trained surgeon. This is what you do, right? You got a hammer, there's a nail, you hit the nail, and that's it.
That was how I was trained, most definitely, Carl. But I was never happy doing hysterectomies or major surgeries, particularly with having to perform what we call a laparotomy, meaning opening the abdomen. That makes the recovery much longer, much more difficult for patients. I was never happy seeing the patients go through what they had to go through, pain-wise and recovery-wise and risk-wise, for benign tumors of the uterus. As one patient asked me, Dr. Lee, if I had a problem on my big toe, would you chop off my foot?
Yeah, right.
And I said, well, no, I would think ideally we would just treat that particular problem on your big toe and leave the foot and the toe there intact. And she says, well, how come we can't do that with uterine fibroids?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, we can to a limited extent. We can do that with a myomectomy. Unfortunately, with a myomectomy, there's damage to the uterus in order to get to the tumors because we have to cut through the wall. And then we have to suture the defect where that fibroid was once we remove it. And then we have to get the fibroid out of the body, which is a problem if we're doing this laparoscopically or through the scope. So, and then we didn't know before, but we are actually leaving many fibroids behind when we do myomectomies. I remember one particular case where I exhaustively removed about 42 fibroids from one patient.
Wow.
And I thought, okay, great. At least this patient's going to be fine for a long, long, long time. Well, in 3 years, she was back with fibroids again, very numerous and very symptomatic. So that really made me scratch my head and said, okay, we're doing something wrong here.
Well, let me ask you a question on that note. So there's a phenomenon when people have polyps removed from their colon. And then they usually, you know, they send them off to the lab to see if they're cancerous or not. But there's a phenomenon that a lot of oncologists know about now called seeding. So when they snip that polyp, there are cells left behind, you know, tissue left behind. And that tissue can actually, kind of like pollen falling from a plant, start new growths of many, many more of these polyps. Is seeding a problem when you're actually going there and snipping these fibroids out in a myomectomy?
We don't believe that to be the case in the overwhelming majority of cases. However, it has been found very rarely that when one operates and removes a fibroid laparoscopically, meaning through the scope, and then in the past where these fibroids were morselated or ground up into strips so that these small strips could be removed through small incisions and avoiding a large incision for the patient, that tissue can be seeded. And rarely benign fibroids can be spread this way.
Interesting.
But the overwhelming majority of times when patients have numerous fibroids, we believe that each fibroid developed independently, essentially, of the others.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, if a person has the propensity to develop them, if unless you change the conditions that they developed under, there's a high probability that they could develop them again.
Absolutely. And in cases where they have, where patients have very numerous fibroids, it's important for patients to understand that they do have that propensity, and we do not have the knowledge to change that or alter that. So therefore, we can treat the fibroids or tumors that the patient has at the time, and the goal would be to remove as many as possible to leave a longer fibroid-free period. And that was one of the problems with the myomectomy. We didn't realize that we were leaving so many fibroids behind.
Right.
But now, thanks to the advent of something called laparoscopic ultrasound, which is what I use on nearly a daily basis, that's an ultrasound that goes inside the abdomen, not through the skin or transvaginally, but actually into the abdomen at the time of a procedure. We place that right on the surface of the uterus, and now I can identify fibroids literally 1.5 millimeters in size.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes, it is, and I find so many of these small little fibroids.
But I was just going to say, but holy mackerel, that turns this particular procedure into a whole day thing. I mean, if you've got to go out and start getting these out, which basically are like clusters of cells on that level of size, I mean, how many incisions do you have to make? And then that's a big job.
Yes, if you're trying to remove those with a myomectomy, it becomes impossible.
Right.
Because you don't want to make so many incisions into the uterus because you're damaging the uterus.
Right, right.
And if you kept doing that, well, there wouldn't be a viable uterus left.
Exactly. I mean, the removal of it would leave more collateral damage than just leaving it in place and waiting for it to grow. Yeah.
Exactly. And can lead to actually the requirement for removal of the uterus at the time of the procedure. So that's why this new procedure really avoids that and allows the patient not to have to worry about having to have a hysterectomy, and it allows for the treatment of many, many more fibroids.
So when did the light bulb go off over your head, and how did you proceed to work on this to see if it was viable?
Well, this occurred in 1999.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. I've been doing this procedure for actually a little over 20 years now.
Okay.
And a number of events that were seemingly unconnected occurred, and those events led me to develop this procedure and where we are today. As I look back on it, a lot of unlikely things happened, and those together brought about the creation of this procedure. One of them was that I was in an area, Monterey County, Los Angeles, in California, where there weren't a lot of physicians performing prenatal testing for women who were pregnant and wanted to check the genetics of their child or needed to. So I began to perform that procedure for Monterey County. And so I had a lot of experience performing ultrasounds and performing this procedure, which is placement of a needle, ultrasound-guided, into the small sac where the embryo is.
Amniotic
the baby
fluid,
is.
Right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Removal of amniotic fluid and sending that for testing.
Right.
So I developed the skills and experience to place needles where they need to be to do that with the usage of ultrasound.
Yeah, delicately and precisely. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But when did the idea of radio frequency ablation is used in a variety of different areas in medicine from to kind of kill off let's say rogue nerves that are causing pain.
Mm-hmm.
When did you think to yourself, I wonder if radio frequency ablation would actually work in this?
Well, I would like to say that, I came up with this idea and the light bulb went off and I thought, well, this would be a great procedure for medicine, and that I all and I really just came up with the idea. Well, it didn't happen that way. Instead, again, a series of events occurred. The chief one being I was on the board of our surgery center in Monterey County, and a new physician wanted to come in and perform radiofrequency ablation of liver cancer.
Mm.
No one at that time knew much about it because it had just been cleared by the FDA. And so the board said, okay, Dr. Lee, you're our tech guy. Figure this out. Is this a good procedure? Is it safe? Should the surgery center allow this procedure to be done? And so I performed a very thorough literature review on it, literally read everything I'd ever written about it, brought the equipment into my office, tried it out on various roasts during my lunch hour.
Really?
causing my nurses great consternation. And they would say, what's he doing now? Anyway, so I did all that. And then as I was researching this, it occurred to me, you know, this works okay for liver cancer, but liver is a very vascular kind of organ.
And it regenerates itself like a starfish, too.
Yeah, it does. And that's partly because of the vascularity.
Mm-hmm.
And vascularity is the enemy of radiofrequency ablation because it takes away the heat. Mm-hmm. Radiofrequency ablation is nothing more than just treating something with temperature.
Right.
And being able to deliver temperature in a defined,
right,
precise way.
Right.
With fibroids, the vasculature is peripheral. It's only mainly on the outside with very few feeder vessels penetrating the mass of the tumor. So, therefore, it's easier to maintain temperature throughout the body of the tumor.
Mm-hmm.
And the peripheral circulation acts like a cooling blanket, so it helps to decrease any heat that might stray out of the tumor. And really, it shouldn't happen that way, but in the case of new physicians doing a procedure, you know, you might get a little too close to the surrounding tissue. But the surrounding peripheral vasculature is kind of like a safety blanket. It keeps that tissue safe. So as I was thinking about that, it occurred to me this could really work well for fibroids. Coincidentally, again, at the same time I was doing that, three patients came in during the same week. I thought it was kind of a plot or something. And refused hysterectomy, myomectomy, which were the standard options at the time. And they said, Dr. Lee, find us another way. I said, find you another way? She says, yeah, find us another treatment for fibroids. You're a smart guy. Come up with something. And I thought, that's crazy. But then, at that time, I was investigating radiofrequency ablation. I thought, you know, this could really work for fibroids. So that's the moment when it really kind of dawned on me that, you know, there could be a better way. But when I did the literature research again, nothing had been published on the treatment of fibroids with radiofrequency ablation. Little did I know it had been attempted already.
Oh.
There was a series of three in Canada. They just hadn't published it yet because they failed. There was a series of 10 in Palo Alto, California, under CT guidance. That also had some serious side effects and complications, so everything came to a halt.
All of those complications and failures a result of not being able to precisely focus the RF energy in the right place?
And not being able to place the needle appropriately.
Gotcha. Which you were skilled at now. Time. Right, exactly. Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
So, fortunately, I didn't know about it. or else, again, I would have never proceeded. But I did not know about it, so I spoke to these patients about another option. I said, but it's never been done. And they said, well, can you do this? I said, well, I've had considerable experience placing needles under ultrasound guidance, and I feel confident I could do that, but we don't know if it'll work. And my very first patient, who, by the way, happened to be a very prominent attorney, that's how smart I was at the time.
Yeah, I would be shaking if that was the case. Like, oh, man, wait a minute. I don't know if I want to do this.
Yeah, she said, Bruce, come on. You can do this. And worst comes to worst, it doesn't work, and I need to have a hysterectomy.
Right.
And I said, well, that's correct as far as I know. And so I went through the legal issues and medical issues to perform a study. And she
did you actually have to get an IRB number and everything, or for you to do that? And it's one patient.
Initially, no, because it was already approved for soft tissue tumors.
Mm-hmm.
Soft tissue tumors. Well, fibroids are a type of soft tissue tumor, right. So I could do it what we call off-label.
Right.
But still, I had to get a board to approve it. I had to go through various committees that checked the safety, et cetera, et cetera. And eventually, our surgery center allowed us to do this with the correct and appropriate oversight. And so I started doing the procedure, and lo and behold, these patients did amazingly well, much, much better than I would have anticipated. I was just trying to basically destroy the tumor, and I knew there would be some reabsorption of the tumor, which after treatment is no longer a tumor. It's broken down protein.
Right.
So I knew that there would be some shrinkage, but what I didn't know was that not only did we get tumor shrinkage, but before we actually got much shrinkage, we actually started to see resolution of the symptoms. Not just improvement, but resolution.
So, which leads me to a question I failed to ask before. Do these tumors produce anything, inflammatory cytokines or any type of hormones? I was going to ask that before, but I forgot. But now's the time to ask it. Do these tumors produce anything?
Absolutely they do, Carl. You're so intelligent about this stuff, I tell you. You're asking all the appropriate questions, and I'm very impressed with that, because very few people on this planet understand that fibroids are not just rocks. They feel like rocks because they are hard, and the extracellular matrix is like a resin, so it's very dense. But once we treat it with radiofrequency ablation, the resin is broken down into like a gelatin kind mm-hmm. of substance. And the fibroids do excrete a number of bioactive materials of various categories, including cytokines, by the way. And those act at the level of the lining of the uterus to increase bleeding during menstrual periods. Mm-hmm. They also act to increase contractions and pain. So, yes, fibroids are more than just rocks. They are biologically active, and much more research is needed in this area.
So is the probe that emits the RF the size of a needle? Is that why it's so important for you to be able to place a needle exactly where you want it to?
That's correct.
Wow.
It is a needle. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. And do you have to just touch the tissue, or do you aim at the tissue? Do you have to make contact?
Yes. You have to actually place the needle through the muscle wall and into the tumor itself. And then the device that I developed has an array inside the shaft. It's an electrode array that will deploy in a radial fashion into the tumor. And now you have 7 electrodes protruding into the tumor. And those electrodes allow you to have a larger field of ablation. So
basically like a 360-degree directional antenna, transmitting. Once it's in the center of the tumor, it's transmitting all out.
That's the idea, yes. So you get an ablation that that proceeds distally or away from the tip.
Right.
You also get an ablation that goes left and right and backwards.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That is so cool. And, man, what frequency are you using? Just curious.
It's about 480.
Mm-hmm. 480 megahertz or 4.8
kilohertz.
Gigs?
Kilohertz.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's interesting. Okay. All right. So I want to take our last commercial break. And when we come back, I want to tell people how they can find you. I also want to tell physicians that are listening to the show, if they want to, because you've developed an FDA-approved machine now. That OBGYNs or anybody who wants to, that's a medical doctor, who wants to provide this procedure, can purchase, and you train them as well, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, so let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break. We'll be right back with some very, very valuable information for anybody suffering from uterine fibroids. Stay tuned.
Ah. Quest Nutrition makes bars, cookies, chips, and pizzas out of complete dairy-based proteins. Our products minimize net carbs and sugar without sacrificing taste. Each delicious chocolate-flavored chip, cookie chunk, and crunchy crumble is custom-made to maintain Quest macros. It's time to enjoy foods that work for you, not against you. It's time to enjoy your Quest.
Men and women, you've heard about hormone optimization. Do you feel like it's something you want to look into? RenewLifeRx.com is the place to start. Their doctors can help you with the solutions. RenewLifeRx.com has a simple process for lab work, consultation, and taking a deep dive into where your hormone levels can be improved. Superhuman Radio listeners get 30% off your initial lab work and consultation. Go to RenewLifeRx.com to schedule your no-obligation phone consultation today. Feel younger, get in better shape, and be more productive at RenewLifeRx.com.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
There's a phenomenon today. So many of us sit for hours each day. Slowly, our bodies respond by shortening certain muscles. The psoas gets shorter and shorter over time. It leads to lower back problems, stiffness when standing, and inhibits your running performance. Now there's PsoRite.com. That's PsoRite.com. PsoRite is a device that allows you to stretch your psoas muscle and return them to normal function. And it does it better than any stretching movement or chiropractic adjustment can. You can use it in your home, office, or at the gym. Experience what thousands of people already know. Check out PSO-RITE.com and save 20% off when you use the code SHR.
Are you looking for a better way to absorb the nutrients you know you need? Do what I do and start your day with lipospheric supplements from Livon Labs. Unlike pills and powders, Livon's patented liposomal encapsulation technology transports nutrients like vitamin C, vitamin B, glutathione, acetyl-L-carnitine, and alpha-lipoic acid to where they need to be, your cells. Visit try.liveonlabs.com/Carl to learn why I take these supplements every day to help me perform in the gym and in life. That's try.liveonlabs.com/Carl.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Bruce Lee about an amazing, innovative approach to helping women who suffer from fibroid, uterine fibroids. Now, your practice is in Los Angeles. Where is your practice?
I have an office in Beverly Hills, and I also have an office in Orange County in Newport Beach.
Okay. And obviously, if someone is close to there, they can fly in or drive in and they can see you, right? Can you give your office number on the air?
Sure. It's 1-800-365-0965.
Okay. But let's say a physician is listening to this show and he's in Pennsylvania, New York, or Boston, wherever, and he thinks, wow, you know, I feel the same way. I don't want to do a radical hysterectomy on a 30-year-old woman because she has fibroids. I would like to do this procedure. You have developed and received approval from the FDA for a device called Acessa, A-C-E-S-S-A, right?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And that is the radio frequency ablation device made specifically for treating uterine fibroids. And you will train physicians on how to navigate and use this process, correct?
That is correct. Just yesterday, I had a physician from Alaska here, and he is returning back to Alaska and will be performing this hopefully shortly.
That's exciting. So how many physicians around the U.S. are currently doing this? Do you have like a physician locator on your website where if people go? And your website is drbrucelemd.com, right? Oh, no, just
that's correct.
Bruce Lee MD. Right. Bruce Lee MD.com. Uh-huh. Very easy. Do you have a locator where you can find people who have already been trained and have this device?
Not on my site, but on the company website. The company that manufactures the equipment is called Acessa Health. And they have on their homepage a physician locator where you just put in your zip code and you find physicians nearby who can do the procedure.
I'm going right now to their website. Yeah, that's going to be valuable. So if a woman is listening to this show, you've had fibroids or you have them and you're worried and you're not doing anything about it because you don't want to have surgery, and so you're just kind of sitting on the fence waiting for something to change and nothing's going to change, you can go to ACESSA Health, which actually redirects you to assessaprocedure.com, and you can find a physician near you. Providers,
absolutely.
Clinical studies, mm-hmm. scientific publications. I mean, so they have everything you need right there. Find a doctor. There's a button right on the homepage that says find a doctor. How many physicians around the country now are up to speed on this, Dr. Lee?
Well, it's changing very, very rapidly. Literally in the last 6 months, we've had a boom in popularity of the procedure among patients and physicians alike. So we probably have around 100 physicians now performing the procedure spread across the country, and there are other physicians in Europe, Canada, and in Latin America.
So Atlanta, South Carolina, North Carolina, it looks like New York, it looks like there may be a couple. There's a cluster of physicians in Illinois, in the Chicago area. Let's see, Oklahoma, Texas, quite a few physicians in Texas. And so... Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is great. This is really amazing. And hopefully, physicians who listen to the show will reach out to you and want to become involved, because this is really the future of treating uterine fibroids, I think. You know, we're going to look back at the inception of this procedure and think, my God, we were so barbaric before this. This is amazing, because this allows you to go in, leave the ovaries and uterus intact, and just zap, and I'm using that word specifically, I spent a long time in radio frequency world, and just zap the tumor and let it disappear. I mean, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. Brilliant.
Well, it really does work. And the nice thing is that patients recover very quickly. My patients generally fly in, and in 48 hours, they fly back home, and they're back to work the following day. So it's a very fast recovery. It's very, very safe because it's so minimally invasive.
And do they have a little tiny little belly button type scar? I mean, is that what it is? Just a little mm-hmm. half inch type of incision?
Right. It's a little smaller, a 5 millimeter incision for the scope.
Wow.
And a 10 millimeter incision for the ultrasound transducer. And then one needle puncture site. I just use one needle puncture site. Like getting your blood drawn, and that's it.
And then from there, you navigate the tip of the needle around the uterus and hit the tissue that you want to hit.
Absolutely, yeah. Because I'm looking at two screens as I perform the procedure. One monitor shows the laparoscopic image, which, again, the scope goes through the 5 millimeter incision. And then the other screen shows the ultrasound image. So I'm simultaneously seeing the outside of the uterus and the pelvis and the abdomen. And the ultrasound image shows me the interior of the uterus and the interior of each fibroid.
You know, I want to thank you for the women out there for having the courage to look for a different way. And all the roasts that you had to zap to see how it worked. Because you know as well as I do, even on the science side, research is never done with female rodents because of the pesky hormones that they have. Most research is done on male rodents. And women's issues, by and large, take a back seat to everything else. And you can bet, if men had fibroids on their penis and the only option was to have their penis whacked off, we would have found this procedure about 100 years ago. You know what I mean? So thank you. Thank you for doing this for all the women out there who will have an alternative now. I think it's brilliant. I think that you're a hero.
Well, that's very kind of you. But I'm just so grateful to be able to do what I do. It has become my life's work. And really, the patients got me to do this. I didn't all of a sudden, as I said earlier, think that, you know, I need to create a new procedure or something like that. The patients convinced me that I needed to help them by trying to come up with a different method. And initially I thought that was a ridiculous idea, and then the situation just fell into my lap, and I said, okay. So I went with it, and then the results were so good that I couldn't ignore it. And so I presented the data at various conferences, and doctors were impressed, but nothing, the world didn't change until I figured out that you really need to create the system and the environment for a new procedure to take off by creation of a new company. So we created a company to make the equipment, to perform all the studies, to get the FDA clearance and the clearances in Europe and Canada and Central America. And that's how this actually came about.
Wonderful. One last question. I know you explained that the fibroids in breast and the fibroids in the uterus are very, very different, but could this procedure be used on a fibroid that is aggressively growing in breast tissue?
Carl, you are pretty amazing. Actually, yes, it can be. And that is actually one of my projects where we will treat fibroadenomas as an outpatient, meaning you just come in, you have it, and then you don't have to have the breast incised. And so that is definitely something I am currently working on.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Great, great, great interview. Great stuff. And thank you for taking the time to come on my podcast.
My great pleasure. And I really thank you for having the foresight and interest in this very significant medical problem. And it's been certainly my pleasure to be on the show.
Have a wonderful day.
You too, Carl.
Yeah, that's exciting stuff right there. And that's going to change a lot of lives. I can tell you that right now, because there's a lot of women out there who are probably putting off addressing their fibroids because they don't want to go under the knife. And now there's a solution. And if you go to that website, it's accessahealth.com, and click the physician finder. Holy mackerel. They've got physicians in Albuquerque, New Mexico that are trained in this now. It's really, there's a lot of physicians equidistantly placed around the country that are within driving distance from where you live, most likely. They don't have a lot of physicians up in Montana, North Dakota, in that area. So if you're a doctor or an OBGYN up in there, Wyoming, South Dakota, Nebraska, this is an opportunity for you to fill a need. But if you go south from there, Texas, like I said, Chicago, it looks like the East Coast. So, they got one in Washington, D.C., it looks like. One in Pennsylvania. The one in D.C. looks like it's not D.C. It looks like it's Atlantic City. Wow. Excellent. Detroit. There's a couple doctors in Detroit. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 doctors in the Chicagoland area, one out in Aurora. I mean, so they're around there. If this is a procedure that you can have done and rid yourself with the grief and the worry of having uterine fibroids. That's it for today. I'm off tomorrow, and hope everybody enjoyed the shows we did this week. Share them around. Please share shows. Share them. Send them to friends. Make them listen. Make them learn. We'll see everybody Monday with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you for listening today.